You're listening to BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, this is Racia Game, and Roshan Tien from Leadernomics is in the studio catching his breath. And this is the Science of Building Leaders series. And we're talking about Jeff Bezos from Amazon.com and his leadership style. So tell us about your perspective about Amazon.com and Jeff Bezos.
Yeah, Jeff Bezos is a very interesting guy. I mean, he named Amazon Amazon because it was the world's biggest river, largest river in the world. And he wanted Amazon to be the largest bookstore in the world. In fact, he's a very smart guy, summa cum laude, from Princeton. One day he was driving his car and he said, look, there's this whole internet thing. We need to get into this internet thing. And so he said, I need to build a company that sells books because he had like 100 over items that he was working on. And he finally nailed down the books is the one that will be most successful. And so he set up Amazon. And ultimately he looked at this. You know, he basically said, look, what's the problem with bookstores? And the biggest problem he thought was the fact that there were lack of titles. So he wanted to offer, he wanted to create the world's biggest bookstore, and how he was going to do it was offer insubordinate amount of titles, and that's how he was going to be the world's biggest bookstore, you know.
Alright, okay, so he, he was saying that there's a reason why he chose Amazon, apart from it being the book.
Yeah.
I mean, the river, the right. World's, okay, largest river, so that was one of the reasons.
The other reason was because it started with A, so when you look, when you type A, is Amazon is the first thing that comes up. You know, so, he figured out search was going to be big, and if you start something with A, it'd be interesting. But, you know, it's interesting with Jeff, is it, because he put up a business plan, and the business plan had it that the company was not going to make profits for about 5 to 6 years. Whereas all the other startups are generally, you say, well, 3 year break even at the most, and then you start because he was really about size, you know, this huge size that he wanted to build, you know.
But there were skeptics as well, you know.
There was a lot of skeptics. Yeah, and in fact, let me tell you, because here's the beauty about Amazon.com. Amazon was so beautiful because, you see, most of the time when we start up businesses, this is what we do. We say, okay, what product should we make? And remember last week we talked about Simon Sinek's why, what, how, and so on and so forth. But what Jeff Bezos did, he figured out the what. He said, okay, I want to build a bookstore. But then he went back and he started to say, what really do I need to build? And what he did was, this is the most important thing, I think, in terms of his leadership, is he started to go and visit all the traditional bookstores. So he went into all these traditional bookstores and he says, look, what's so great about buying a book? And so he asked this question. And so as he looked at people and he himself bought a book, he said, hey, when I buy a book, I've got this feeling, right? I pick a book, I flip through the pages, I read a few things, then I look at the counter, it says, oh, top 10 books. And then I go to the counter, hey, this book people buy. And then people say, yeah, this is not bad, this is lousy. You know, then you have a chat with somebody. There's actually this experience in buying a book. And so he said that, hey, there's this experience in buying a book. And if I'm going to create an online presence, an online book retailer, I need to actually transfer this experience over into the online site. Mm. So he said, hey, can my books be read? Can I flip through a few pages? Do I have recommendations? Do I have a top 10 list? So, I mean, all the things that you see today in Amazon.com came about because Jeff Bezos asked this question, right? And as he asked this question, he started fundamentally answering his why, you know, why do I create this business? And that's where he came about and said, we want to create Earth's, the exact word I think is Earth's biggest bookstore. But he later refined that because when he started figuring out why, he said, we want to create Earth's biggest bookstore with the most customer centricity. Basically, he wanted the most customer centric biggest bookstore that was around. And so he started copying it. And here's where good stuff. So he started saying, okay, let's have the top 10 list. Let's be able to put the first 10 pages of a book so people can flip through a book. Let's do all the stuff that, you know, the touch the book, read the page, talk, you know, even talking at a counter, you can have. He said, hey, why don't I get recommendations from people who have read this book? And then if you like this book, you know, you may also like this book, you know, just like how it'll be very typical in buying a book in a bookstore.
It's very interesting. What we'll do is we'll look at the front and the back, we'll look at the table of contents.
Exactly.
First few pages.
Yep.
And this is the whole experience when you go to a physical bookstore.
Correct. But there's one experience, and this is where the flip side, you know, the issues that came with Amazon.com. Because Jeff said, okay, my job is to translate all the good experience. And on top of that, the biggest frustration with people is when you go to a bookstore and you say, I want to buy this book. Oh, it's out of stock. Or it's not there. And he said, look, we translate all the stuff, but the one thing that's a frustration, we also eliminate. So there's no frustration because you go to Amazon, there's every damn book that you can look at. But there's one piece of the experience that he couldn't replicate. Now, and this piece was this. When you go to a bookstore, you like this book, you buy the book, you get the book right away.
Mm.
And you take it home. Now, Jeff tried really hard. And here's where he said, so how do I do it? Now, I've replicated all. I've got the top 10 list. I've got the recommendation. How do you overcome this? So he's thought about it. And so, you know, this is where... So he said, okay, what's the next best thing to do? The next best thing to do is see if I can get the book as fast as possible to you. Because I can't get it immediately. There's no way. And so what he did was he spent almost a couple of billion dollars. I think it's $400 million or so. Later went up to almost billions, where he started to put in this huge customer service infrastructure and fulfillment center. So he built these warehouses. He built all this, and this was in 1999. He built this huge center that enabled books to be delivered. And this is amazing. In 1999, right, they managed to, if you order a book on December 23rd, during the peak holiday, December 24th, you got the book. So you got it before Christmas.
Jeez.
So he managed to turn it around. This is in a peak period, right?
This is US.
Yeah, I mean, this again, he started in the US.
Right.
But he managed to ship, again, I tell you, during the 2000 holiday season, Amazon shipped 31 million items with 99% accuracy and all on time. Okay, so he built this huge thing, which came at a huge cost, by the way. But there was a problem with this. So Jeff Bezos started Amazon. And he says, the way I'm going to start Amazon is I'm going to basically take the experience that you have on a traditional site and I'm going to replicate it. But then he had one problem, because one of the experiences, which is getting the book right away, couldn't be replicated. So he said, let's do the next best thing. And when he created this, he thought Amazon is going to grow so significantly that he built huge warehouses, spent millions and millions. But the problem was this: only about 20% of his capacity was filled. So basically he created all this warehouse with all this cost on a yearly, daily basis, but the capacity was not used.
So what did he do?
Okay, so here's what Bezos did. So you think, if I'm a businessman, I have all this capacity and I'm paying for it, what should I do? The best thing I do is use the capacity, right? So Jeff Bezos, who sold books, decided, what should I do to fill up capacity? Oh, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to sell everything under the sun. I'm going to sell toys, I'm going to sell jewelry, furniture, whatever.
Right.
You name it, I'm going to sell it. And that's where Amazon started selling everything. But here's the interesting. So he did. He started selling everything and sales actually went up. So but here's the funny thing. Sales started to go up, but the more they sold, the more money they lost.
How can you do that?
So I'll give you an example. 1998 sales was $608 million. They lost $124 million. 1999 sales was $1.6 billion. They lost $720 million. 2000 sales was $2.8 billion. They lost $1.4 billion. So the more they sold, the more they lost.
How do you do that? It's a skill.
So why is this happening, right? It's not logical, right? But here are two reasons, okay? So first, let's go back and understand. Jeff Bezos was very brilliant because, well, everybody else was building an online business. They just built, okay, I'm going to sell whatever, toys, and I'm just going to sell the toys. What Jeff did that was very brilliant was he actually translated the experience in a brick and mortar setting into the online setting. So but by doing that, right, he actually... created this market where Amazon was this amazing website that everybody loved. He had this experience. Now, when he started selling toys, here's the problem. When you started selling toys, what's the experience of buying toys? It's going to be different, right, when you buy physically a toy. Now, if Jeff didn't work... See, here's the thing. When you start selling everything and you don't work at your strategy of replicating experience, because he just... Look, I got to fill out capacity. Let me just sell everything. He forgot to actually replicate the same model, you know, of transferring the experience into toys, into jewelry, into homes, into cars, into whatever else he did. Now, when you bought a book, it was special because you had that, hey, I got this special feeling. And that's why, you know, even though other people copy Amazon, there's this, you know, Amazon is the one that led the way in terms of giving us a same experience, in fact, a better experience of buying a book online. So that was one. Now, the second one is more interesting. When Amazon actually went into the big industry, you have to understand the book industry a little bit. There's a couple of players in the book industry, right? You've got the creators, the content creators, the ones who are writers and authors. Then you have the producers and the publishers. Then you have the distributors. You have the retailers, which is the Amazons and the Barnes & Nobles and so on. And finally, the customer. Now, what Amazon did was, Amazon originally a retailer. But as time went on, Amazon actually, when they built this logistics infrastructure, they decided, why should we buy from a distributor? Why don't we buy directly from publishers and get the publishers to send it directly to the to basically whoever orders from them to cut down timing? So now they've bypassed the distributors. So there's margin that's you know, Amazon gets bigger margin. Then they decided with Stephen King, actually they started this. They said, why can't we go to the author direct and offer exclusive ebooks? So what they had done is they had value innovated the book industry. Now when they went into the toy industry or some others, they had no value innovation. So what has happened is, over the number of years, there was actually no real sense of true value innovation in terms of the value chain of that industry. So one thing is they forgot their strategy. And so they were selling everything just like eBay was. So suddenly Amazon was not this special thing. They were like eBay and just basically every other auction type of organization. And they had no focus. And the other thing that was happening is that they actually had significant innovations and margin that was derived from the book industry because of the innovations they had done in the value chain of that industry, which they did not do for these new pieces because it was like, oh, we need to sell, you know, we need to fill capacity, just to fill the capacity. So these two big issues caused them, the more they sold, there's actually more cost. Because imagine, now in the book industry, there's only two distributors. Even if there's Ingram and there's, I forget, TG, I can't remember.
Big
and Taylor, that's right. So you got these two big guys. Now in the toy industry, you've got Mattel, you've got Parker Brothers, you've got huge number of producers.
Right.
I don't know how many distributors you have. So every distributor, you actually have relationships with them. And actually, there's a cost, right? When you have to manage a relationship, there's cost incurred. So the more they were selling, the more costs, the more the building of that relationship incurred. And ultimately, it caused them to lose money, you know. So those were probably the two big reasons.
So the more they sold, the more they lost. So shouldn't he be fired for taking this company down the spot?
I mean, that's pretty much what the board said. What the hell? The more we sell, the more money we lose. And this is an interesting part because Amazon went through this journey. I mean, if you remember Amazon's profitability, for a number of years, they were not profitable, but they were selling more. And revenue was going higher and higher and higher, but they were not profitable at all.
Right.
And part of the reason was this. So the board, yes, they wanted to get rid of Bezos, but here's why I think this guy is an amazing guy. Because in 2000, he went out to the board and he said, look, I think we've made a mistake, or I've made a mistake. This guy had the humility to admit his mistake, and the mistake was a simple one, right? You forgot your core strategy. Your core strategy was experience, was translating the experience of buying it physically into this online setting. And he says, look, let's look at items that where I can easily translate the Amazon experience. So he then started to focus on his core. And his core is not just books. He said, look, I think the same experience with buying music,
right,
the same experience can be with DVDs or with videos. So he started to focus on books, music, and videos, or BMV as he called it. And amazingly, 2001, the fourth quarter, they started to show profits. And what they did was, they still had the capacity issue, right? But what they did was, and again, this is the smarter thing to do, is they started to lease the capacity. So Toys R Us, who's very good at selling toys, Toys R Us sell their own toys, but they used the framework of Amazon,
right,
or they use the infrastructure that Bezos is already
told,
exactly, or leasing or whatever you want to call it, lah. So while Toys R Us is famous for toys, so you go to Toys R Us to buy toys, and you go to Toys R Us online to buy toys.
You
come to Amazon. I mean, the other option he could have done, I thought, was to create more rivers like Nile to sell toys and maybe Euphrates to sell jewelry and so on. So, but maybe, you know, but you can
right.
create separate companies riding on the same infrastructure. But the big thing that was happening is Amazon has become diluted, because if I go to Amazon and buy toys and my experience is not so good, I won't buy books. So ultimately, but if I go to buy books and I have this great experience, I'll probably buy toys. But then I say, I thought Amazon, they give me recommendations. How come I got no recommendation for toys and
right.
so on and so forth, you see? But there's this value that needs to be created. And I mean, to be fair to Bezos, he had the humility. And this is a great, I mean, to me, leaders that make mistakes, everybody does. I mean, we all make mistakes. But the humility to say, hey, I'm sorry, we made a mistake. And then let's change our path back to our core, focusing on that experience, and then secondly, focusing on value, creating value in the value chain of that specific industry. So they went back to that part, and today Amazon, I mean, with Kindle, you know, all that stuff, it's really value. It's really innovation to the value chain. Because if I can go to the author and say, hey, you get paid $1 for your book anyway, right? Per book sold, I'll pay you $1, but instead of selling it at $30, I'm selling it at $2. So because Amazon's margin may have been $1 or $2 before. So now the book is worth $2.50, and consumers are happy. You get a direct ebook for $2. The author gets still his dollar. I get a bigger margin. And everybody's happy, you know, except the distributors and all the other guys, right? So.
Right. So what are your final thoughts around this?
Okay, I think we can learn a lot from Bezos. I think the most important takeaway I've always got from Bezos was, if you want to start a successful web business, you need to study the traditional business that you're trying to replicate, and figure out what the experience, because every business is successful because of some experiences that they offer the customer. You know, so look at the customer, what they're buying in the traditional sense, and what are the frustrations they have in the traditional sense, and then translate the experience, the good stuff, into your online, but eliminate some of the frustrations. That's what Bezos did. And many people who start internet business haven't figured this out, you know.
Right.
They just go, okay, let's start an online business. But actually, you're fighting with the physical guys, right? What's so great about them? translate that, because that removes all the barriers. So that's one. The second thing I think is always focus on your core competence. You know your purpose, know your mission, know your why. Never deviate it. No, a lot of companies, after a point in time, they forget. I mean, Jeff Bezos lost sight of it. After a couple of years, we've seen big companies that lose sight of their core, IBM, and I mean, number of others, they forget what their core is, and then they go and say, we are Midas, you know, anything we touch is gold, right? So then suddenly they get stung, and they realize, oh no, we have to go back to our core. Amazon almost lost the pot when they sold everything. Don't sell everything, because this world is changing where you need to focus and really do it well. Now, the third thing I think is once you focus, innovate your industry. And that's where real margin comes in. You become profitable when you innovate your specific value chain. Go in deep and start to say, okay, what's the non-value-added stuff in this industry? Right. Why distributors? Why this? How can I innovate to be, and how can I innovate such a way that the guy who produces will want to work with me rather than a third party or distributor and so on and so forth. And finally, I think the biggest takeaway for me from just business is when you make a mistake, have the humility to say sorry and admit that mistake. The board Yeah, I mean, it was a couple of millions, but at the end of the day, Rook, Jeff Bezos is still CEO of same thing happened with Steve Jobs, right? When he had this ego and he was making the same mistakes, maybe in different sense, but he didn't have that humility at that point in time. He got fired, right? And then many years later, he learned, and then he came back a much more different person than he was when he first got fired from Apple. So I think Bezos, the difference is he said, look, we made a mistake, we'll fix it. And then we'll go back on the trajectory that we were originally, you know, planned for. So I think these four things, you know, if you take heart for these four things, I think there's some great lessons to be learned from Amazon.
All right. I've been speaking to Roshan Tiran from Leadernomics in the Science of Building Leaders series. We've been talking about Jeff Bezos from Amazon.com and his leadership stance. This is Raise Your Game. And tomorrow, Sridhar Subramanian from Character First continues the Performance by Character series. And tomorrow, he'll be talking about the traits of hospitality and thriftiness. BFM 89.9.
BFM 89.9, the business station.